You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Thursday, March 9th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. I'm Greg Sussman. You gotta pour one out, Corey.
What's up?
You gotta pour one out today.
Pour one out of what? What are you talking about?
Huh? 20 years ago today.
Oh, yeah, 20 years ago today, the greatest rapper of all time was murdered in Los Angeles.
So now, do you think he's the greatest rapper of all time because he died?
No, he's because he was the best. He still is the best. The music would still be better than
But do you think if, like, Jay-Z died 20 years ago, people would have said that?
No. It's not better than Jay-Z's. Not.
Oh.
Obviously, it's a generational difference.
Yeah. Seems that way.
Yeah. 20 years ago, Jay-Z was fairly unknown.
Yeah. Well. Okay. But like, if Jay-Z, you know, God forbid, all of a sudden just died,
20
like,
years from the now, yeah. I think, would still go.
I think if like Jay-Z or like Eminem or one of those guys died in their prime, like Biggie and Tupac did, we would talk about them in the same stature.
I agree with you.
Nah, I think that's prisoner of the moment.
Hmm. Interesting.
We never saw what those guys, like, if they could have fell off or anything, or what they would have been as they got older. They died right at the hype of their, like, the peak of their hype.
I don't see no fall off. You're not going to convince me of this, Florio. I was there.
I mean, I love those guys. I like Eminem and, like, Jay-Z a lot, too, though.
Yeah, Eminem is, I love Eminem.
Too. Eminem's great.
He is.
Very talented.
He's a big celebrity that he don't even have to, like, do nothing.
Nothing.
Like, that's how famous he is. Like, he don't have to do anything. Like, if he was to come in here, it would be like they would close the doors.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a big celebrity right there. Like a Lady Gaga type. You know what I mean?
What?
Like extremely popular people like that. Like, I remember when we was at the mothership, that time Kanye came up in that joint. It was, like, amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that's like big celebrity.
Yeah, that's a big celebrity. Kanye's a mega, right?
He's a big celebrity, yeah.
Yeah. All right. On the
one
show
day, I'm going to be a big celebrity, Greg. They're going to be holding the elevator for me, and I'm going to have a detail. Maybe like Fantasy Executives coming in the building, and everybody going to clear out so I can walk in with my entourage. Would you like to be a part of this entourage?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll reserve a spot for you. Contact my chief of staff.
On the show today, Matt Modica will rejoin the program 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Yep.
So he'll come in at 9 tomorrow. Fun guest for you all day.
Big Marcus.
Marcus Kuhn, former New York Giant, New England Patriot, will co-host the show with us tomorrow, Corey.
Yeah, no doubt. So it'll be fun to have the German Giant, Big Marcus, in with us as tomorrow. You know, it will be the first day of the 2017 NFL season.
Yeah.
So.
Good to have Marcus in here. Talk about free agency a little bit, and talk about how all those like trips work, and then the signing process works. You know,
the draft, also the combine and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Marcus went through all of that, so it'd be cool to talk a little shop with him tomorrow. So make sure you check out the Roto Experts in the Morning tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be a good show tomorrow. Tonight.
What about today, though?
Well, today I have to start with basketball, Corey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got to start with basketball because Anthony Davis cost me money.
Oh, boy. How'd that happen?
He fell.
Sad day.
The big man fell, and then he hurt his left wrist.
Oh, God. This guy is always getting injured, isn't
always he? Getting injured. It was almost like all of a sudden you kind of felt safe again.
Yeah.
And then he hurt his left wrist and didn't return the second half. I lost my daily last night by 20 points. You know, Anthony Davis get 20 FanDuel points at half is very easy.
That's very easy.
It's called like a given, really.
Gee, I'm sorry that happened, Greg. So what's your situation? How'd you rebound?
I'm here.
Yeah. You still would have been here if Davis would have got you
to. I don't know how else to rebound. I woke up this morning and I lost.
Sorry about that. Well, so what's the deal? How's that team looking now that they have all of these new people? You know,
Really win at all.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising, though, honestly, that they didn't win at all. Like, why aren't they winning, Corey? Like, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins next to each other, obviously Drew Holiday in that backcourt. Is it just, like, not enough?
No. Here's the problem. It's the depth. So, you know, those dudes, they can't stay in the game the whole game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they get tired, whatever the case may be. The other team is fresher. So the pieces behind those two guys need to be worked on in the offseason. So everybody's like, oh, that'd be a great first-round series with them and the Warriors.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. They're not going to be in the playoffs.
Will the Warriors still be the first seed in the playoffs after losing last night to Boston again? And Golden State, like, we all thought they'd fall back into this rhythm here of what they were last year. And now you're wondering if losing Durant is like, obviously losing Durant is monstrous because it's Kevin Durant here. But we all thought, hey, they were the best team in the history of basketball last year, besides winning the championship. Without Kevin Durant.
Team, yeah.
Without Kevin Durant. So you thought you'd fall back into the rhythm this year. It hasn't happened.
I think that they need to get back to the Bay Area. They need to get back to the Yay area. And then, you know what I'm saying, get their win beneath them. You know what I'm saying? Talk it out. Mm-hmm. Have a team meeting, a players only meeting, and then get back into rhythm. But this is a tough stretch that has just happened while you're on this big road trip.
Yeah. It's a bad spot, of course.
Sometimes you just gotta get home. Sleep in your own bed, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Lay next to Aisha, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And wake up and hug Riley, you feel what I'm saying? And do all of that stuff. And Clay, you know, he wake up with, you know, his three or four. You know what I'm saying?
They were home last night.
That game was in. I thought that game was in Boston.
No.
Oh, they really don't be losing at home like that.
No, I lost by 13 at home to Boston last night.
Did Steve Kerr break a clipboard?
I don't have that information in front of me.
He probably did. Draymond Green was probably acting crazy too.
Probably.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. They gonna need some. Listen, there's still plenty of time. They'll get back in rhythm. I'm certain of this.
The Spurs are a game and a half behind the Warriors right now.
It's going to get close. It's going to get close.
It is. You know, you can't rush Kevin Durant back because obviously just getting to the playoffs is what matters most. But you want that one seed. You want everything to go through the Oracle. And I like the name of that arena, by the way. I think Oracle Arena is a cool name. What isn't enough? It wasn't enough. The Celtics are the only team to beat Golden State at Oracle in each of the past two seasons.
I'm about to say this last year, too, right?
Last year, too.
Yeah, so, you know, they're going through a little stretch right now. But don't worry, my Warriors are pulling through.
The Warriors and the Spurs, I believe, play each other this weekend.
Oh, that's the Saturday night game?
That's the Saturday night game.
Oh, that's going to be a goodie.
That's going to be a good game.
I'm in front of the TV for that
one. That's going to be a good game, absolutely. I'm excited for that one, too. Corey, has there been a defining basketball game this year? I feel like there hasn't been.
Maybe the Warriors and the Cavs on Christmas.
Okay.
The Wizards and the Cavs from about a month or so ago. The one that went, does it go in a double, it went in overtime, a double overtime?
LeBron had the ridiculous three in the corner.
That ridiculous three in the corner, yeah. I think that might be the defining basketball game of the season so far. Or maybe Warriors and Cavs on Christmas.
Maybe Warriors and Cavs on Christmas, but I feel like on Christmas everyone just talk about football then, so I don't remember.
It's the basketball game from a couple weeks, from about a month or so ago.
I didn't even remember it.
That's been the most entertaining, interesting game of the year.
No, I don't disagree.
That's an NBA classic. If you have NBA TV, that was an instant classic right there.
Yeah,
I like the Wizards. The Wizards are a fun team.
Well, they're Eastern Conference team.
I'm considering them.
Okay. Speaking of the Spurs, Corey, they were down 30 points last night, 28 to be exact.
And they came. Oh, they didn't have. They played without.
Without Aldridge, Kawhi. Aldridge, did without you? LaMarcus Aldridge. Without their two best players. Down 28 points. And they won.
Wow, that's a big win right there. So
down 28 points. And Greg Popovich, led by Patty Mills, Manu Ginobili, David Lee, and Johnny Simmons, got the job done against Sacramento.
That's just the machine right there. They just keep rolling. They know how to win. They know how to get it done. So big W last night for San Antonio Spurs. That is nice. That's the biggest comeback victory in the Popovich era.
That's gotta be the biggest comeback victory. One of the biggest comeback victories I've ever seen.
In NBA, period, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I want Greg Popovich to run for office one day.
Maybe he will.
Yep.
It's possible. But like, you know what? It's interesting. Like, we know our current president in the media. I can't imagine Greg Popovich wants to talk to the media very much if he was president.
Maybe not. He's president is that's lofty. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, you know, some kind of, maybe he should do something in Texas or Well, he probably wouldn't win in Texas.
He's coaching the Olympic team.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's you serve your country something. Like that. That's you know what I mean? Right? Coach the Olympic team. I didn't know that he was doing that this year.
Yeah, so Coach K is...
What happened to Coach K?
He's coached like three of them, and he's like, all right, time to take a break.
Yeah. So does he get a gold medal, too?
Of course.
I don't think so.
Why would he get a gold medal? He coaches the team.
I think if you look that up, I don't think the Olympic basketball coach gets a gold medal.
Why?
Because I think it's something like that's their. I don't. I'm gonna look.
Maybe
this
they
up.
Don't. I guess like maybe they don't because you know what? Like I guess like a gymnastics coach doesn't get a gym medal, exactly. Like a gold medal, right?
Exactly.
So maybe he doesn't. But he certainly coached them to three gold medals.
Yeah, he did.
Like no losses.
I would be PO'd if I coached the team and then we go up on the stand and they were like, oh, they just give the medal to the players.
Sorry,
and
I'm sitting
up there. I'm sitting up there ready for my Juan Carlos moment. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, no, you don't get a medal.
But, okay, if you don't get a medal and you're the coach of a Duke, obviously, you get paid a good amount of money to coach Duke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Do you get paid to coach the Olympic team?
I don't think so.
Really? He's just doing this for fun? You can't get a gold medal and you don't get paid?
I don't think you get a gold medal. Now, maybe USA Basketball. Maybe USA Basketball does pay him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm looking at this right here. There, he does not. Like, this is from 2012. I'm looking at a picture. But they all put their medals around his neck. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well,
it was Jason Kidd on this team. They all put their medals around his neck. He watched proudly as the 12 players stood. No, despite the picture above, only competitors received gold medals at the Olympics. Yeah. Coaches received nothing from the IOC. That's good for Coach K. I don't want him to have no gold medals.
Find out if USA Basketball pays.
Oh, okay.
There's USA Basketball.
Talk while I do this.
Yes, yeah, so I'll just talk while you do that. Hey, I'm always pumped that. I wonder how long Anthony Davis is out, man. This is frustrating. Because I was going to say, I'm always pumped when like, Jordan Crawford gets signed, the dude that dunked over LeBron.
Yeah.
You remember that? So I always liked that. But I'm annoyed about this Anthony Davis thing. It bothers me because not only did I have Anthony Davis last night in DFS, but Anthony Davis is also like my best player on my season-long team that like playoffs start next week. So I can't have that.
No, you need that. That's big right there. So this is what the IOC.
Yeah.
Once again, I don't think they take care of the coaches.
Right.
But I think if your team wins a medal, you get $10,000. That's not a lot of money for a coach.
No. Coach K doesn't do the things for $10,000.
No.
He won't host the show on SiriusXM for $10,000.
Yeah, there you go right there. Yeah. Nah, Coach K don't do nothing. That's a brand right there.
Yes.
So I mean that $10K probably was just like, you know, he probably was like, oh, I got a deposit? I didn't know. It's nothing to me.
He wouldn't even recognize
it. He wouldn't even recognize that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He just put that in there in his account.
Direct deposit.
I wonder what bank he uses.
Probably RBC, right?
Isn't probably it? Some kind of Carolina bank.
Yeah, that's my guess.
He probably has like a... You know, some kind of sponsorship with him or something like that.
Yeah.
Like he's in commercials in Raleigh.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Bank with us right here. Hey, I'm Mike Krzyzewski. Coach, remember Scott didn't know who Coach K was that time.
That was actually one of my first shows hosting ever.
Yeah.
So we talk about it.
That was funny. Why should I have to know that? He's not a fan of sleeping.
Oh. X-rays were negative on Anthony Davis' Bruce left wrist. He's day-to-day, but I'm sure he'll have an MRI.
I know you're
sure.
Worried about it, Greg. The way your fantasy basketball team, your season-long team, the way the roster is built,
yeah.
Can you handle this going into the offseason?
No.
I mean, going into the playoffs? It was going to be the offseason.
I can handle this going into the offseason because that's where I'm headed.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Oh, are you going to have a bye? Like, you know?
No.
This is not Roto. This is...
It's head-to-head.
Oh, you have... This is head-to-head. Yep. So you'll be like a six seed or something like that?
Let's see. In this league, I'm going to be a... This league, I'll be a four or a five seed.
So okay, so you're in the 4-5 matchup?
In the 4-5 matchup.
That's a tough task.
And then you
got to
play the one seed who's going to crush me.
Yeah.
But the good news is I don't own Anthony Davis on this team.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the good news.
What the hell are we doing?
It's my other team. I own DeMarcus Cousins on this team.
Because?
He's teammates with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I realized that. I know that. It was a big trade.
Yeah.
The All-Star game.
On my other team, I own DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. Now you can see where I got screwed up. So that trade was very bad for me.
I'm here for you.
So now I have Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, and then Markieff Morris got suspended last night. He's going to be suspended because he kicked Mason Plumlee in the nuts.
They kicked him in the nuts. Why?
He was upset.
That's cool.
A Draymond Green style.
Like an accidental kick, leg goes up. I tell you, if there's anybody you want to kick in the nuts, it's Mason Plumlee.
Really? I thought it'd be Grayson Allen.
But he's in college. I'm talking about NBA. I want Duke players to get kicked in the nuts.
That's not very nice.
They don't do nice things. Remember they stomped on? Remember Christian Leighton stomped on? Can't think of homeboy's name right now. And then they're just a nasty organization.
Yeah.
Or program, excuse me. That's not an organization. That's a program.
Mm. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been on Tobacco Road, Greg.
I've been on Tobacco Road as well.
Yeah, did you like it?
You know, it's interesting, because I did a game. I've done games at Duke. I've done games at North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You used to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I've been to Cameron, then, so you've been on the inside.
I have.
Yeah.
I have pictures on my phone, actually. I was looking at them recently.
Yeah.
So I've been in Cameron. I was at, like, Krzyzewskiville outside, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But, like, when you get off, I guess 95, when you get off 95, and you see the exit, like, Tobacco Road, I'm like, holy cool, this
it's
is cool.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
You know?
You should have put that on Instagram.
You know what? There was no Instagram at the time.
No, yeah, so yeah.
But I would have.
You should have thought of Instagram.
I should have thought. That was the...
that was the moment right there.
That was the answer. Yeah.
What is this in my back pocket? Hold on.
I don't want... Let's find out. What's in Corey's back pocket? Hit the music. Let's find out.
I think it's my box. Oh, yeah, here's the box for the... You know how you got the little extra box when you want to plug your phone?
There's another one on the table right there.
No, I got two boxes. I'm warming them up every night.
Let's take a break
right now.
Yeah, we're gonna come back here on the program, Corey. And what we're gonna do is we're talking a little NFL football. The latest news and notes from the NFL free agency is just 8 hours away, less than 8 hours now.
And I'm sad.
So you're sad?
Yeah.
What are you sad about?
You know what's gonna happen today.
You think Tony Romo's going to sign today?
No, he's going to get cut.
I thought he was cut already.
He's going to be released today.
Oh, he wasn't cut yet, technically?
Not technically, no. That's sad.
I'm sorry.
I want to go to some of my favorite Tony Romo moments.
Corey will
get on the rundown.
Corey will, I'll put it on the rundown. Corey is going to grab a drink from the bar, and then he's going to give us his favorite Tony Romo moments.
Alcohol already?
Well, I've seen it before.
It's eight, though. Maybe 11 out of 8.
Corey will go through his favorite Tony Romo moments. Like a little NFL football here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. As we said, free agency is just a couple hours away here. And that means for Corey, the end of the Tony Romo era.
Yep, that is the end of the Tony Romo era. 14 memorable seasons as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, I was and still am a very big fan of Tony Romo. So,
will you root for him wherever he goes?
Yeah, I will root for him to do well. I want to see him do well. I want to see him go. Oh boy! I'm like, wait a minute. Where's this music coming from?
That was great music. I had that. I didn't even mean to have that.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. It wasn't me. Good.
Yeah. So
good work, Michael.
That you know, I'm going to root for him wherever he ends up at. Hopefully, he plays, you know, a couple more years and he goes a little bit. You know, he goes deeper into the playoffs and gets a couple playoffs. I hope he wins the Super Bowl. Like,
you'd be crushed if he wins the Super Bowl.
I hope he gets to the Super Bowl. I hope he has a chance to play in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And if he does play in the Super Bowl and he's like the quarterback of the Texans or the Broncos or something like that, I want him to beat the crap out the New York Giants in the Super Bowl. Like, and just and like do a late game winning drive to crush the spirits of New York Giant fans.
But what if they play the Cowboys?
Huh? Oh, then he has to lose. Then it's over. You know, shake hands at the beginning of the game, and then we'll give him a hug when it's all over.
He'll want to win that one real badly.
He would definitely want to win that one real bad. You know, because this is not the end of my relationship with Tony Romo. In essence, it's a new beginning. You feel what I'm saying, Greg?
Yeah.
This is. It looks like it's finality, but these things happen. People go forward. They move on. So. You know, I'm maybe in about week 10 of this season, I started saying, okay, closure is going to be needed at some point. And, you know, I struggled with it for a little bit, but I started liking a new guy, you know what I'm saying? And I understand it's tough and it's difficult, but I was able to accept it. Now, today, you know, we get really to the finality of it, and then he'll sign with a new team, and then he'll go. He'll take the number 9 jersey and all the memorable moments, and he'll leave for a new franchise and a new fan base. And I hope that new fan base treats him as well as I treated him, because there's not too many fans like me. And I hope wherever he goes next, there's at least one loyal, dedicated fan that will be there with him through thick and thin. And, you know, not be critical of him. Not, you know, you can be critical of him, but don't give him too much of a hard time. This guy is an undrafted free agent. Remember that. He's an undrafted free agent. This is not no big number one draft pick out of UCLA or some big number one draft pick from the SEC, some all-world quarterback that's been, you know, trained to be a quarterback since he was 9 years old. No, this is underdog Anthony Romo. This is tough, Greg. You know, I've seen Tony Romo. He waved at me at FedEx Field.
Waved at you.
He waved at me at FedEx Field. Remember, this is the game he hurt his back. I was at the back injury game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he spun out and he did the little thing he does. He got out of trouble and he threw the ball deep downfield to Terrence Williams.
Sure.
This was against Washington late in the season. It was week 14. I was playing for a fantasy title that week, as a matter of fact. I remember. And I had Pierre Garçon. How about that? And Pierre Garçon scored in that game. Matter of fact, he scored the touchdown when Romo them came back. When he spun is when he hurt his back, and he threw it, and he hit Terrence Williams. And then DeMarco Murray scored a few plays later. And then as they was walking off the field, I was in the corner by the end zone.
Right.
And he waved at me.
Just you personally. Hey, fantasy executive.
We made eye contact.
How you doing,
and he waved at me. So that was, you know, that was the back injury game right there. That was tough. He was limping around. You just saw the true grit of Tony Romo. Like he was bent over. He was hunched over. And Jason Garrett was just peering at him on the sideline. But he kept fighting. You know what I'm saying? He knew how important it was to us to beat Washington that day. And he was excellent in the fourth quarter, leading, orchestrating the comeback drive with a chronically bad back. Threw a touchdown pass to DeMarco Murray. So that's one of the great Tony Romo memories I have. So, and then of course, another time, a lot of the comeback victories versus the New York Giants were very seminal in my years. He came back, New York Giants, a couple times. It was a big one in the Meadowlands a few years. Bill Parcells era was a big one in the Meadowlands, and he hit Jason Witten because he didn't trust that Terrell Owens to catch the football. And then Martin Gramatica hit a 50-yard field goal. It was very, very happy household that day.
You know,
the Thanksgivings. We shared Thanksgivings together. Me and this man have spent 14 Thanksgivings together. We were together on 14 straight holidays. You know? We had people along with us through this journey, like, you know, Terrell Owens and the great Jason Witten, our BFF. So we had a lot of those moments together. So I was, playoff win against the Lions, playoff win against the Eagles. You know, you just to see Tony Romo in that situation, it's been great. You know what I mean? When he went to San Francisco and played with the broken rib. Remember that game, Greg?
Mm-hmm.
Played with a broken rib against the 49ers. Went out there and he beat San Francisco with banged up ribs. It's been some sad moments too, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, 44-6 to Philadelphia, that was very painful. You know, the big interception in FedEx Field against Washington, you know, the losses against the Giants, you know, obviously the playoff loss and stuff like that. But just his whole thing, you know, his first career start, I watched it, was very pleased, and I was like, you know, this is going to be my quarterback. You know, this is going to be my guy. You know, I thank Bill Parcells for finding him. And I thank Drew Bledsoe for getting out the way and not making, you know, a big deal of it. So those are some of the memories and moments that I have with my buddy Tony Romo. Now, you know, you got the situation in Seattle with the field goal, you know, with the snap, botched snap. And I think he recovered nicely from that. And listen, does he have the credentials that a Troy Aikman or a Roger Staubach have? No. But he is better than damn Danny White. You feel what I'm saying? You got a lot of people say, oh, Danny White was a better Cowboy quarterback. Hell no. So, you know, those are some of the moments, my favorite moment. But, you know, playing that, when he broke that rib and that rib punctured his lung, that was, I'd never seen that kind of strength in a human being. So, there you go. You know, and we've been through this journey together, me and Romo. You know what I'm saying? Since I was on the Roto Express in the morning, everybody's known me as a Tony Romo guy. They used to laugh and joke and say I was going to draft him in the first round of fantasy drafts. You know, I've never had a fantasy team that's won a championship that Tony Romo was on. They've always played very well to late in the season, and then they lose in like week 15. But yeah, so it's been a hell of a ride. You know what I mean? I want to thank Romo, his family. You know. All the haters out there that is always counting him out, I want them to know that, you know, this man was a part of my life, and I want to personally thank Tony Romo for 14 great years from, you know, from my quarterback. It's my quarterback.
And there it is, Corey Parsons, goodbye to Anthony Romo, who, again, I must state, has never won a damn thing. We'll be back next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. What's up, Corey? What are you laughing at, man?
This is this retweet that you just you just did of the Birdman transforming into the Birdman. What did he start doing?
Drugs.
Look, he was a nice kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a nice kid. You know,
the NBA and drugs got to him.
Yeah, he started hanging out with some dudes in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. J.R. Smith was in there.
Yeah.
How
about that?
What does 3 to the head mean to him? Anything I should know about that?
Huh?
When he puts the 3 to the head. Should I,
No, he's not. That's, no.
Okay. Just want to read into, I should read into that.
The Birdman.
All right. NFL news and notes. Ready, Corey?
Yeah, let's do it.
DeSean Jackson, according to Adam Schefter, assuming no snags, hit, will be going to Tampa Bay.
I love that right there. I love that right there, Greg. I think this is the perfect piece for this offense. Now if they can get a running back to put in the mix, I think this is a up and coming fantasy offense right here. You know how you like to be involved with the Packers and Steelers and the Colts and teams like that? You want to be involved from a fantasy point standpoint with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This just makes Mike Evans even better. He had a big target load last year. I still see a big target load even with Jackson in the mix. It helps take the double teams off him. Speed kills. When DeSean Jackson is on the field, people are scared. Like, you're a Giant fan. You know what I'm saying?
Petrified, actually. Do you understand how happy I am to get this guy out of the NFC East? You want to talk about village with the Giants? Tony Romo's like my best friend. DeSean Jackson is my darkest and deepest enemy. Like, there is nobody in sports that I hate as a fan more than I hate DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, he's been very tough to the New York Giants, and I love it. But no, now he gets, and not only does he go to Tampa, remember he's going to the NFC South. So with that's a division with no defense. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
You get him out there, you get DeSean Jackson out there in the NFC South, get him a part of that offense. Now as far as his fantasy value goes, he's still a boomer bust wide receiver, low end wide receiver too. He's a boomer bust wide receiver too. He's going to have his good games, he's going to have his games where that's still going to be a part of it. But I do think Cutter makes him more fantasy relevant in that offense. Jameis is going to love having him there and playing with him while he's happy. When he becomes a malcontent in probably the second or third season, then you got to get rid of him. But so you got the offense set up with Jackson and Evans. You got Cameron Brate right there in the middle. Now they need to figure out what they're going to do with the running back's position, and then this team can really be cooking with gas. I love this right here with DeSean Jackson going to
Tampa.
Now, the draft starts at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. I have the fifth pick in the draft.
Why are you drafting right now? Dude, it's like March 9th.
I like to draft football teams.
Draft baseball teams. It's baseball season.
I just did a baseball draft the other night. It almost killed me.
You're right.
I want to get in. This is a slow NFL football, fantasy football draft. I have the fifth pick, right? So, with that being said, I'm going to... This is how serious I like this DeSean Jackson signing. With the fifth pick, let's say
take DeSean Jackson.
Let's say no, I'm not. Hell no. Let's say it goes consensus.
What does that mean?
Consensus is David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown.
Okay, you take Mike Evans.
I would consider Mike Evans. The pick will likely be Odell at five.
But
I do this for the people.
Okay,
but Mike Evans would be six.
You think so?
Yeah, I would do Mike Evans before Julio Jones.
Is that because of the Julio Jones foot injury?
It's because I'm just not.
I know you said you're not in on him.
I don't want that. I don't want him as a wide receiver one.
Okay.
And I'm probably not ever going to have him as a two unless it's an auction.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go, right there. I like the move. How do you feel about it?
It's a good fit. I think it's exactly what they needed, right? They needed someone to stretch the field. You had like a slot guy. You had Mike Evans. He was like your big, best wide receiver. They desperately needed somebody to stretch the field, and that's what they have in DeSean Jackson. I think it's a perfect fit. I think it's one we all kind of matched up once we heard DeMarcus Cousins was leaving Washington. Like we said from the beginning, this one made a lot of sense. And for once, not cooler heads prevailed, but logic prevailed.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think I'm already starting to see reports that the deal is done.
Yeah.
They've agreed to terms, so.
Yep.
He'll ship out there to Tampa, get out there with Mike Evans and Jameis Winston and Mike Evans and the crew. So DeSean Jackson is a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. For his fantasy value, what I like about him is the fact that he gets with an offense with a fearless quarterback who's going to not have a problem throwing the football down the field. I like him for fantasy purposes as a low-end wide receiver, too. What I would say to you right now, if you're doing best ball drafts, this is the best time to get him because you want that big blow up game as a part of your weekly optimization. As far as redraft leagues, we're months away from that right now, but my guess is in that 5, 6, 7 round range as a wide receiver 3 is where I like DeSean Jackson.
But isn't that where we always kind of like DeSean Jackson?
Yeah. It doesn't really, like I said, this is not really for his fantasy value.
Right.
This is more beneficial to Mike Evans and Jameis Winston.
So I totally agree with you. It's better for fantasy value wise, it's better for Jameis Winston, Mike Evans. It's better for Tampa Bay, who desperately needed a guy like DeSean Jackson. But what you're talking about is just his fantasy value. It's seemingly going to be the same it's been his entire career, where it's a lot of boom, a lot of bust, a lot of inconsistency. End of the day, the numbers will be there.
Yeah. You know, he's going to do what he does. He's going to stretch the field. Jameis will take shots with him. And what I like about him getting out there with Jameis is Jameis can wing it, and Jameis is not afraid.
Right.
Not to say that Kirk Cousins was afraid, but there was a lot of different moving pieces. Kirk Cousins obviously had a thing for Jordan Reed when Jordan Reed was on the field. But if you think about it, when Kirk Cousins didn't start playing well until DeSean Jackson came back from that injury in the 2015 season, that's when we seen Cousins take off. And that's because of that speed that DeSean Jackson has, the ability to pop the top. Like you said, DeSean Jackson is terrifying.
Yes. Terrifying.
He's so
fast. Yes.
Yeah.
But you don't,
and then he laughs at you after he scores, too.
But you don't hate him like I do. You love him.
No. The medical at the Maryland's part two, that is one of my favorite NFL plays of the past 10 years. Yeah. I was absolutely, I'm talking about, I was jumping up and down screaming, like, run it back. And I hope the stadium collapses. You wasn't at the game that day, were you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, boy.
Another sign that appears imminent, Danny Woodhead actually leaving the Chargers, the LA Chargers now, to head to Baltimore, an interesting fit. Everybody was all goo-goo and gaga for Kenneth Dixon. Does this signing do anything to change that for you, Corey?
Say this again.
Danny Woodhead headed to Baltimore.
Okay. This is how I'm looking at it from the Baltimore Ravens standpoint. You bring Woodhead in there. Obviously, Kenneth Dixon, younger man, likely the same exact skill set. So, obviously, you see that right out the back. They want to throw the football to the running back out the backfield. I do not think that he is going to take looks away from Kenneth Dixon. Now, I will drop Kenneth Dixon down a little bit where I like him more as a high RB2. Maybe now I take him as a mid to low range RB2. But here's the thing. Don't get fooled by Danny Woodhead joining this team.
Okay.
Because the bottom line of the matter is this, Greg. Mm-hmm. Danny Woodhead, at some point during the season, is going to be hurt. Danny Woodhead cannot last through 16 NFL games.
Do you think this helps Melvin Gordon's value? Not that, because it was high last year, obviously. But now there's no Danny Woodhead coming in. Anthony Lynn wants to run the football. That's pretty good, right?
That helps Melvin Gordon's value more than anything else, is the fact that Anthony Lynn is there. We sold the New York Jets the past couple years, 130, well, with the Jets, 137 yards per game. The Buffalo Bills, obviously one of the top running teams in the NFL. Now, Anthony Lynn takes that coaching strategy, and he puts it on the Los Angeles Chargers,
Get that right.
He brings that to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Get it right.
And just right there on that alone, I like Melvin Gordon as a first-round running back.
Okay, first round running back.
I like Melvin Gordon as a first-round running back, somewhere at that back end around Devonta Freeman, Melvin Gordon, that area.
Okay, so there you go with that. Where
people have Shady at, where people have LeSean McCoy at in drafts right now, take him out of that spot and put Melvin Gordon in there.
Why?
Because the Shady McCoy situation is up in the air. So they say they're going to go with Tyrod Taylor, but still, you're bringing in a new system, a new offensive coordinator.
Yep.
It's a West Coast offense.
Right.
He's not going to have the type of workload he had last year, not to mention the fact they're going to have bumps and bruises trying to institute this new system offensively. So I like him. Shady McCoy is off my board unless he's a running back too.
Why? Wait, off your board is a big difference than dropping him out of the first round, Corey.
If I get him as an RB2, if I can start Gordon Shady, I'll do that. But right now, some of the early drafts I'm seeing him going at 7, 8, 9 range. That's too early for a player going into a new system.
Okay. Are you worried about Shady like falling off a cliff too? Is that part of the deal?
Yeah, that's part of the deal also.
Yeah, you kept that quiet.
You can't predict that because a lot of people wouldn't expect him to have the season he had last year. I was in on him last year because I know how Anthony Lynn rolled. But I just don't like players in new systems right away.
I understand that. But when you're Shady McCoy, your job's kind of just to run the ball.
Yeah, but it's blocking, it's schemes that go into it. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, the offensive coordinator is going to have his own thing. This new OC may be like, I don't want Shady touching the ball 20, 25 times a game. I want him to be used in other ways. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're going to try to build up that passing attack in Buffalo.
Jamaal Charles, speaking of running backs, expected to visit Seattle, as Seattle is very much interested. The AP thing with Seattle is obviously BS. Jamaal Charles, not so much. And this doesn't come as a surprise because we've been trying to see them have a smaller, faster back to pair with the big back in recent years. Thomas Rawls obviously feels the big back need. Jamaal Charles could feel the smaller back need.
Yeah, if they do get Jamaal Charles, it's a lot of moving pieces. So you got Procise, who in his rookie season kind of proved that, okay, I can be good when I'm on the field, but you don't really know how much he's going to be on the field. Also had a situation where we saw Thomas Rawls struggle to get on the field and be productive as he was in his rookie season. So now you bring Charles into that mix too. So now you got three backs, no real role. Looks like a headache to me. I think I'll stay away from it. And trust me when I tell you, Jamaal Charles is on his last legs.
It's clear to me that Seattle doesn't trust CJ Procise.
I don't think so.
When people brought his name up last year and then in the offseason to Pete Carroll, he's like, well, he's got to stay on the field. Like, they do not trust this guy at all. Like, Thomas Rawls, oh, yeah, he's going to be fine. CJ Procise, well, we'll see.
Yeah, and that's where that seems to be where they're at with him. But, you can't trust him if you can't depend on him to be there. As soon as he gets on the field, yeah, we see the dynamic talent that the kid does possess. He immediately went out with injury. So now you bring Charles in, so they have more moving pieces. I'm going to avoid, if this is legit, and Charles is the guy, and we see come week one, like he's healthy and playing, this is a situation I'm going to avoid. You probably get some production out of one of these backs every now and then, but I'm not trying to be guessing who that back is going to be all through the months of July and August. So I got more important things to do.
I'm with you. All right, more NFL news and notes, which is more rumors coming up next, including Martellus Bennett leaving New England, Latavius Murray leaving Oakland, and, of course, the latest on Mike Glennon. We'll do that next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Matt Bodega was going to join the program at 9 a.m. Eastern, but instead he decided to join the program at 8:47 Eastern. What's up, Matty?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Happy to have you on the show once again. Back-to-back days. We're lucky.
I'm happy to be here.
Why are you confused?
Look, because I don't know what the hell Florio is playing.
That's old school.
Yeah, I get it. But this is the greatest rapper of all time died 20 years ago today.
Yeah.
And this is what Florio is bringing us back.
It's arguable. He doesn't have no disrespect.
Florio is disrespectful.
Same. Well, I'm not allowed to use commercial music.
Figure it out, Florio.
All right. I got you.
I'm not asking for excuses. I want results.
Hey, speaking of results, by the way, don't worry. The Giants do play Tampa Bay next year, so they'll...
Oh, so Deshaun Jackson will have a chance. Where's the game, man? I'm going to go. Is it the Meadowlands or is it...
I certainly hope it's out of the Meadowlands.
What do they call that place now?
MetLife.
MetLife, yeah. Jet Life.
I heard that it's so hard to say goodbye to Tony Romo segment.
Yeah.
would you have tears from that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Tony Romo's been a fantastic quarterback. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he has done. I know he's been injured. I know that fumble in the playoffs. Hmm. But as a Bills fan, I would love Tony Romo. Give me Alshon Jeffrey.
Anybody, any free agent that wants to come.
Marcel Bennett.
We'll take Martellus Bennett. We'll take Drew Bledsoe back. We don't care. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, last one, Mike Glennon is going to get $14.5 million from Chicago, 3 years. 3 years per, so, you know, give or take $45 million, Mike Glennon. This is the number we've heard all along, Bodega. Not really a surprise. And I'm not killing the Bears either. Like, you need a quarterback.
Yeah, like we mentioned yesterday, it's the market price. I mean, is Mike Glennon a $15 million quarterback? I don't think so, but, you know, you got to pay what the market demands, and you got to have a quarterback in the NFL. I mean, is Matt Barkley, was he the solution? Long term, I don't know about that. Right. I was never a Matt Barkley guy.
I wasn't. He was at USC. That was cool.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, there you go.
USC for a while, like, owned the college landscape. Yeah. I mean, when I was living in California, unfortunately, I'm a UCLA fan. And there were some brutal years where they were just steamrolling us every year.
Yeah, and but Jim Moore Jr. helped you out, right? Jim Moore Jr.?
Yeah, he came in. He was getting it better, but I just feel they never went to the level that they should have. I remember back in, like, the late 90s, like, Cade McNown era.
Ooh.
And stuff like that. I remember going to a game at the Rose Bowl with Ricky Williams in Texas playing at UCLA.
That's cool, right? The Rose Bowl. How about that? That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would like... I've never been to, like, one of those big college stadiums.
I wasn't at the Rose Bowl game, but I was that's where UCLA played.
Yeah. No, that's still cool. Yeah, that's a nice joint to go to. I've seen the Terps play football. It's not the same.
No, it's not.
No. I've been in North Carolina's football stadium. Not the same.
No.
Even though Lawrence Taylor played there.
Yeah.
My sister graduated.
With LT?
Huh?
With LT?
No, hell no. My sister graduated with maybe Julius Peppers.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah. Julius Peppers didn't graduate, though.
What? He was a junior.
Yeah. So right. I think maybe she was a freshman with Julius. Something like that.
Right.
I don't know.
It
was that era. Okay. So, yeah, I went there. You know, they had the graduation in the stadium.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
You know, whatever. Big ass stadium like that.
Yeah.
So, whatever. So I went to that. Other than that, I would like to, like, I want to go, like, to, like, you know, Death Valley. You feel what I'm saying?
Ann Arbor.
Like, the big house. Like, I want to be in Notre Dame. Which would probably be weird.
Touchdown Jesus, baby. Touchdown Jesus.
There won't be many of you.
No. They were like, all right, but I'm here. Yeah, I always want to do one of those, but I think, like you said, the Rose Bowl would be cool. You know, maybe you get to see little Alabama,
Orange
LSU.
Bowl, is that in Miami?
Yeah, Miami, that'd be cool. But see, I would be more like, all right, let's hurry up and get out of here and get, you know, and get to the
Alabama
to
would be
South
cool.
Beach. Oh, yeah, Alabama, LSU, can you imagine that?
Yeah. Very cool.
Night game out there in
Texas,
the swamp.
Texas.
You know what I mean? 200 degrees down there. I love that.
UT?
Yeah, out the Red River game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Brian Ward, absolutely.
No doubt about that.
All right. Martellus Bennett, Modica, you mentioned a moment ago, you'd love for him to come to Buffalo, obviously. And it sounds like the Jaguars, the Raiders, and the Giants are the favorite for him because he said yesterday, yeah, I am not going back to New England after they traded for Dwayne Allen.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that he played well last year, even with Gronk in when Gronk was healthy. So the Bills just have so many needs. I've just been so disappointed that this is an offensive league now. They've consistently, I mean, hiring Rex Ryan I thought was a horrible move. Turned out to be a horrible move. The defense got worse and worse every year. Hopefully this new coach is the answer. But, I mean, we got Tyrod Taylor. We need weapons now. If you're gonna keep Tyrod, you know, I'm happy. I do like Tyrod, considering the other options. So let's build around him with some offense, and let's get it going.
And Buffalo actually be a nice landing spot. The thing about it is the tight end position is just so, like, you don't want to get on the Gronk or Olsen or one of those top guys too early.
Right.
So you kind of just, like, live in the late rounds with the Jack Doyles and the Martellus Bennett and guys like that. But on draft day, unless you're getting a value on like a Kelsey or on like an Eifert, remember these tight ends, they all stay injured. Just wait till late in the draft because you're going to end up streaming tight ends anyway.
I'm with you there.
Don't do the Gronk early thing. Please.
No, you've explained that to me.
Yeah.
I actually, talking about Gronk, I mean, it wasn't early, but I'm never really a guy that does take the tight end early. I usually wait.
You did it this year, right?
In my NFC Super League, which is probably one of the toughest leagues I've ever competed against, Chris Vaccaro, Glenn Lowy, you know, a couple of other Hall of Famers in there. I had, in the third round, pick 3, Gronk was sitting there, and I started off with Elliott. Unfortunately, I want my boy Sammy Watkins in the second round.
Don't remind me.
I was like, you know what? Gronk here is, do I take him? Do I let him go? And unfortunately, I took him.
There you go. It hurts.
What are you, speaking of Gronk, speaking of the Patriots, what do you think of the Dwayne Allen trade? Once Indianapolis re-signed Jack Doyle for a whole bunch of years, and he proved last year to be the better tight end. He kind of came out of nowhere week one. I remember I started Dwayne Allen in daily. I started Dwayne Allen on my season-long team. And then some schmuck Jack Doyle kept taking all the receptions and touchdowns. Like, what the F is going on? And now Jack Doyle remains in Indianapolis, gets a bunch of guaranteed money. And Dwayne Allen's gone 1 year after signing that extension, traded to New England. What did you think of that move here, Corey? And what does it do for both Indy and New England?
Well, Indianapolis, obviously, you know who the tight end now. You know who that piece is going to be, and that's going to be an offense that uses the tight end. So Jack Doyle is a tight end one going into 2017, hands down. Now, as far as Dwayne Allen, once again, he's a streamer. He's going to be on the injury report the majority of the week. He's going to be a game time decision. He's going to have a high ankle sprain. He's going to miss 3 or 4 weeks. And when he's in there, he's going to be inconsistent.
Yeah, it's tricky, but I kind of like him in New England. New England excels with the two tight end package. So anytime Tom Brady has more options going for him, I think it's a good thing. Dwayne Allen, I guess we all were expecting bigger and better things for him throughout his time in Indy. So let's see what happens here. But as Corey said, I'm not going crazy on the tight end position. If Jordan Reed gets knocked down a little, which I'm not sure that's going to happen, but Jordan Reed's the guy that, I mean, when on the field and healthy, he's just a stud.
He's very, very good, but he's got to, of course, remain healthy. That is the biggest thing. Now, another rumor going around that will, of course, probably be cleared up this afternoon. Latavius Murray reportedly won't re-sign with the Raiders, and he's a name you haven't really heard mentioned anywhere. I've mentioned the Giants personally. I think he's a nice fit there, pairing with Paul Perkins in the running game. I don't know how much he's going to cost, but I think Latavius Murray there makes sense. I don't really know where else, like maybe Minnesota, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. Latavius Murray doesn't seem like he's headed back to Oakland, Matt.
Yeah, I think they have a couple of other backs they like as well.
DeAndre Washington, of course, my Jalen Richard.
Richard is a guy who, I mean, he's got, if he gets that opening, he could just take it to the house. I do like watching him play. I agree. The Giants, like we mentioned yesterday too, they need that change of pace. I mean, they have Paul Perkins to change of pace.
Yep.
They get that guy that can pound it. And what they got yesterday with Brandon Marshall, I mean, it's very exciting in my mind to be a New York Giant fan. And I do think they are going to address that running back need.
That's your turn, Corey.
He's going to be a part of a committee. I want to see him in a place where he gets the full chance, but we've already seen he couldn't succeed with that in Oakland. They tried to make him the guy in Oakland. He's going to have interest and value. Depends on where he lands. I don't think it's the Giants.
Oh, all right, fair enough. All right, football, we'll get back to you a little bit later on. We get back to a little baseball, including my healthcare reform. Much of these injury guys I want to get to and get Matt and Corey's thoughts. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning, 1 hour down, 1 more to go. Back right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts is here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica in the house. He'll also be on the OGs today. The old school fantasy hour with George Kurtz, Corey Parson, and Scott Engel. In studio with us for our final hour. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be joined by Marcus Kuhn, former NFL player, the New York Giants, Corey.
Yeah, big Marcus, you know what I'm saying? So he'll come in here with us tomorrow morning. We'll go through some of the latest news from the NFL, what happens today, and other rumors and stuff like that. And we'll discuss the process. You know, Marcus being a former player. You know, he's been there. He's been in the combine. He's been in.
Been there, done that.
He's been in the locker rooms with Bill Belichick and Tom Coughlin and stuff like that. So it'll be a fun day right there.
All right. That'll be fun. We also, next week, as I said to you yesterday, I forgot to tell you who, working on that March Madness guest. That could be cool.
Yeah.
That could be cool.
How's it going?
We're making progress.
I holler at Felipe Lopez. I wonder if I still have
the baseball player?
Nah,
St. John's?
Yeah, St. John's.
Okay. That's going back a little. But
that's too far back.
I remember Lou Conosecca in the sweater back in the
show. Sure,
remember
right.
The great Felipe Lopez?
Why don't you work on Juan Dixon for me?
Felipe Lopez was...
You work on Juan Dixon for me?
Yo, Juan Dixon should be easy to find.
I agree.
Yeah.
So why don't you reach out to Juan Dixon and get him on the show?
You know what? I think I know somebody who may... know exactly how to get in touch with Juan Dixon.
So can you do that for me, please?
I'll see what I'll do. I'll reach out. I was a big Juan Dixon fan.
I'm asking you, as a former producer, to please reach out to Juan Dixon. Get him on the show. If I feel like I don't, if I don't bug you now to do it, you'd be like, oh, I forgot, Greg. I'm sorry. And then I'll ask you tomorrow, and then you'd be like,
Greg, you wasn't in Maryland those years, though.
No, I wasn't. But Juan, I'd love for you to reach out to Gravis Vasquez. That just seems unlikely.
You know what he's doing? I know.
I can reach out to Gravis Vasquez, actually. I'm Facebook friends with him.
You was there with Gravis.
Yeah, all 4 years.
They never won nothing.
They would have, though.
If.
Corey Lucius doesn't hit the buzzer beater in the second round of the tournament.
That was big.
They were going to the Final Four that year because the one seed in their bracket, which is Kansas, lost to Northern Iowa. So it would have been Maryland versus Northern Iowa. They would have won that game. And then in the Elite Eight, they faced a Tennessee team that was like, all right, whatever, it's Tennessee. And they're in the Final Four. Yeah. Michigan State went to the Final Four that year.
That's right.
Hey, beat Duke that year, too.
Were you Gary Williams guy, or you thought that it was time for him to leave?
So I was surprised that he left, but ultimately I understood it. He didn't want to play the game. And at this point, at that point in college basketball, he needed to play the game. He was a hell of a coach. Like, there's no better in-game. I'll argue that there's no better in-game coach for the players that he had than Gary Williams, but he wasn't getting the players that you needed to get. Like his team was like Gravis, like worked out obviously, but you weren't playing the AAU game, you weren't playing the coaches game, you weren't doing it. And college basketball changed. You had to.
And here's the thing about it though. But Gary was never. I met Gary Williams a couple of times. Sure. He was a nice guy.
No, he's not. But that's okay.
He was to me.
In general, he's not a nice guy.
Oh, really?
Guy.
He used to be ornery.
Yes.
Really?
Hell yeah.
I like the use of that word.
I met him at...
I haven't yelled at by Gary Williams before.
I met him at Buffalo Wild Wings.
For sure, yeah, yeah.
In College Park. Mm-hmm. He used to do the coaches show from there.
Yes, sir.
So, I get what you're saying about playing the game. Like, I remember when like the lady in the Washington Post did the big story, like kind of exposing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, remember he went to the press conference and he was, who wrote this? And he was pointing his
finger.
They asked Kevin Durant, did you ever hear from, you know, Kevin Durant from Capitol Heights, Maryland, in Prince George's County. They were like, did you ever hear from Gary Williams? Kevin Durant was like, no. So you see, okay,
exactly.
Kevin Durant probably, like, you probably should have talked to Kevin Durant. You know, he's in your backyard, dude.
And, the rumor always was that, so Michael Beasley went to Kansas State, and he's in the backyard, too. Michael Beasley was right there.
Yeah.
And supposedly, they made the deal, like, listen, you hire his father or his AAU coach or whatever.
I'm going to come to Maryland. I'll go to Maryland.
Gary balked, obviously.
Yeah.
Kansas State hired the coach, and then
they got
Michael Beasley.
That's how the game was played. But on to Gary's defense, though, when he won chips and they was battling Duke in that era, he wasn't doing it with blue chip guys.
No,
he was doing. Steve Francis was off the scrap heap.
Sure,
Juan Dixon was off the scrap heap. Lonnie Baxter. These were not big time recruits.
Absolutely not.
He was getting them in there and he was coaching them up.
And then the problem was they won the national championship and you didn't. You still didn't get the big time. Like you got the big time recruits and they didn't work out.
Yeah.
And then it was a disaster after that.
Yeah.
And then you found guys like Gravis, Vasquez, and whatnot. And then Turgeon comes in and you're getting these blue chip recruits. Like you're getting a Diamond Stone from Wisconsin to come in.
Yeah.
And Alex Len, for instance.
Yeah.
So some of these, I mean, you're getting McDonald's All-Americans. Like, Melo was a McDonald's All-American.
Yeah.
Maryland didn't get those. And then, you know, the in-game stuff, again, left a little bit to be desired.
But, yeah, well, that's how
it is. You know what? You get the recruits, you figure it out.
Well, Juan Dixon can easily be accessed.
Can you do that, then? Seriously.
Juan Dixon is the coach.
Women's basketball team.
Women's basketball team at the University of D.C. So you can just contact the athletic department and be like, we need Juan Dixon.
I'm asking you to do this.
I'm asking Florio to do it. I'll take care of it, Greg. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, so I'd like him, you know, before next Thursday or on next, whatever. At some point next week.
That's cool. I got it.
All right.
I would like to highlight him too because I remember he hit some big shots.
Yeah,
he was a good player. You know, I feel like was watching Maryland basketball, ACC basketball in those days, Matt.
I am a college basketball fan. The last couple of years, I've pretty much focused on the tournament.
Yeah.
As to everything else, and then, like I said, this time of year has been getting so crazy for me with the baseball prep and just everything with that. But I'm ready for the tournament. Those first couple of days is just like extreme fun. You go to the bar. Some beers, some wings, and basketball all day, all night.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm pumped.
That's 1 week from today.
1 week from today, it all begins. There's a good chance I just stare. Like, I know we have shows in the afternoon. I'm just going to like stare.
Maybe he has some work to do.
Yeah, it's okay. So, anyway, let's get some baseball stuff here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Zach Greinke. Ah, everyone loves Zach Greinke. Going to rebound Zach Greinke. Love Zach Greinke. Topping out at 89 miles an hour, throwing 88.5, and he even said, you know, it's spring training, but not ideal. You're shaking your head at me, Matt.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned because I liked Greinke as a bounce back this year. It is, there's still a couple more weeks, but I mean, he's not a guy that throws 95, 96. But to live like around 91, maybe top out at 92, that's ideal. 88.5, 89, that's very concerning. I mean, like, Garrett Cole yesterday was living 95, 96. I was just pretty excited about that.
Sure.
I got both of these guys I like. I'm going to take the next couple of weeks to monitor Greinke. He was a guy, I think I gave him a 7 yesterday in my confidence.
Yep.
Confidence is waning. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I also don't want to overreact. I don't have any big drafts for like 2 weeks from tomorrow. So it's a thing that you have to keep an eye on. Spring training, you know, maybe he gets it up over the next couple of outings. But the Garrett Cole watch should be on. He's a guy that was very depressed this season, a guy I've been targeting.
Depressed. He wasn't depressed.
And yes. And like I said, he's someone that will make a nice jump up in the ADP, I believe, if the next two outings go as everything happened yesterday.
So you're more in on Garrett Cole than Zach Greinke? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I basically had them like 2021 in my rankings.
Okay.
So, and I was pretty much going back and forth between both of them. But Garrett Cole, I mean, the only thing to me this season was health. I think last year was marred by injuries. It wasn't the same Garrett Cole. I mean, just watching him pitch, you could tell the ball wasn't exploding. It wasn't. He wasn't popping. So there was something there. And love the park. And young, he's still young. But the one thing is, he's got to stay on. He's got to take the ball every fifth day. So he's a guy that I'm willing to take. I love him as my number. I mean, I have him as a number two. I love him as my number three.
Okay. Corey, let's talk about Zach Greinke.
He's on my Tout Wars team.
He's on your Tout Wars
team. I just did this thing the other night. Now this guy is throwing the ball at 68 miles an hour. What the hell is going on? He's got to do better than that. It's still early. You can't. Like, listen, I understand you're getting your velocity, you get a little bit older, your velocity, you didn't pitch 200 innings all these years in a row and stuff like that. But, you know, you say, oh, well, he can become crafty, you know what I mean? You got to get very crafty when you're at 88.
He is a very cerebral person.
Sure.
And he's kind of like a, I don't know if eccentric's the right word, but he's kind of had like social anxiety in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he was living in like George Brett's basement when he was with the Royals.
Oh, he's had issues. We brought them up quite often, right? Like at every stop he's had from Milwaukee to LA to Arizona, we brought him up. And he almost has that Jay Cutler aura of, I don't really give a shit. He admittedly says, I'm going to go wherever whoever offers me the most money is going to sign me. I don't care about being a mercenary. I just want to get paid.
Yeah.
And now that he's, you know, lost a couple miles per hour potentially on that fastball, he's like, that's how it feels anyway.
Well, the one thing I also was reading in that write-up, they were saying everything about, you know, not ideal, but he did start his pitching stuff late this season. You know, maybe give himself a little rest. He went on the DL. They shut him back down again last year at the very end after bringing him back. So it's been a very traumatic experience in Arizona for him, I would say. I mean, he got paid, but maybe he rushed back a little from the injury, feeling the weight of the contract in that first season. So I'm not jumping off the Zach Greinke bandwagon yet. And like I said, one start, two starts, it's spring training.
Sure.
Let's not get crazy, but we do need to monitor. And like I said, my confidence is a little shaken.
We'll see. Yes. We got to be patient. We'll see what happens with Mr. Greinke. Now, I think I read an article about this anxiety thing with Greinke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's real. He left baseball for a little bit.
I hope he feels better.
It's nice of you.
Yeah, I don't want him to see him. I don't want him to have to deal with that.
Now, do you only say that because you own him?
No. Okay. I say that because I know people that deal with it too, and you know what I mean. And they go through some tough times, and that's got to be hard doing it as a pitcher. You know what I mean? Because every move is being monitored and watched and criticized, and in the papers and stuff like that. He was living in George Brett's basement.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, when he was like a young player coming up and stuff, they kind of. You know, who was it? Like, I mean, he was older than, obviously, like, Sidney Crosby, but, like, he was living at Mario Lemieux's house when he first got signed.
Yeah. Sure.
So it was kind of like maybe something for him to make the transition a little easier and stuff like that.
So he took him in.
But one thing I will say with Greinke, like, as I mentioned, he's very cerebral. He is a pitcher, and he can get it done with, you know, he's never been the max velo guy. But
another velo guy.
Hey, but, yeah. I wouldn't. I just move in Tony Romo's basement.
I don't think he wants you.
Probably not. What are you doing down here?
Get the hell out of here!
Get out of my house.
You like country music?
I know, right?
God's got kids, man.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't want to be.
No, I don't want
his kids waking me up.
You know. That's what I'm saying. He's got kids, and you're concerned about them waking you up.
Well, it's better than saying his wife. So,
oh look, this, not to change the topic.
You're about to.
Peter Schaefer states that he can assure that Washington GM Scott McLaughlin is healthy and a good frame of mind and not drinking.
That's nice.
Peter Schaefer is that's Darrell Reeves' agent.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Maybe it's because he talked to him about signing with the Redskins, and he's trying to get a deal for his client.
Yeah, he's like, probably get your act together. Get your act together. I need some place for him.
There you go. There you
I
go.
I need some place where he can get burnt by Marcus Goodwin.
Let's talk more about some of these pitchers, little healthcare reform actions. Talk about Zach Greinke. I also want to go to Houston. I know we talked a little bit about Dallas Keuchel, but I want to dive into this more and see if this is a guy who's come back from some injury that we want in on or out on. Dallas Keuchel, next, here are the Roto Experts in the Morning. You wanted Biggie instead of you got Adele.
Yeah, this is Adele. Yeah, I'm going to say this sounds familiar. This is 8-bit Adele. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, Matt. Yeah. Hello.
Good evening.
This is not.
Good morning.
Florio, this is not the 8-bit show. That comes out at 11 o'clock.
I know. I figured you like Adele. It's close to what Corey wanted.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. The Packers tight end Jared Cook approaches the starter free agency. The Lions and the Bills are showing the most interest. So he can go underachieve in Detroit or Buffalo. Bigfoot. A Bigfoot sighting in Buffalo.
Matt, does that make you excited?
I don't know. I mean,
you should say no.
I'm GA. Yeah, it's the Bills. I don't know like what they think. It's like, I mean, it's hard being a Mets fan sometimes. Yeah. It's hard being a Bills fan. It's like...
No, I feel you. It's hard,
hard being a UCLA fan.
Yeah, UCLA, they never live up to expectations neither.
Yeah.
It's hard being a fan.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hey, guess what? We're gonna talk about Dallas Keuchel in one sec. Ben Affleck's called off his divorce.
Oh, they're getting cool? back together?
They are getting back together, yeah.
Who's this woman?
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
Hopefully they've hired a male nanny. Just saying.
He's crazy, Ben Affleck.
You can't do that to the help.
He's crazy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little nuts.
Cannot do that to the... But I'm glad they worked it out, though.
Yeah, I like Jennifer Garner. She seems like a nice woman from the Capital One commercials.
Yeah, she's...
She doesn't age, ever. She's looked the same for 20 years.
You
what?
Do you have time on a cable?
No, thank God.
I'll be happy about
it. I am. I have had time on a cable.
Yeah.
And they are fantastic.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. Now, the good people at Time Warner Cable, you know how you have Time Warner Cable and you cut the New York News One? That guy.
Yeah.
Tis not aged in years.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody else is on TV every day, I'm like, this man looked the same as he did 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think who it is right now. It'll come to me soon.
Mm-hmm. So, Dallas Keuchel, obviously, plays for the Astros. They had a brutal year last year, Matt. Coming off the Cy Young Award, he was not good last year. And now, slowly working his way into spring training. Slowly. Gonna get in the Grapefruit League. We're getting an Arizona Fall League game coming up this weekend. Are we in on Dallas Keuchel?
He's another guy that I was in on the trio of Cole, Greinke, Keuchel. I pushed him down a little when they said they were gonna give him some more rest. That's not something I wanted to hear. I mean, there's no rush. There is an extra week of spring training due to the WBC this season, but I want to see him pitch Sunday. And he's another guy to monitor over the next 2 weeks. I think last year it was injury related.
Okay.
At home he pitched pretty well at home. It was on the road where he was getting lit up. He's a guy that is someone I didn't expect to repeat as a AL Cy Young winner last year, but I did have very high expectations for him. He was a top 20 pitcher and I was believing in he'll pitch to soft contact and so he's a guy that I'm still interested in. I like him. I think he's a top 30 pitcher for me right now. But the next couple of weeks, I will be monitoring closely.
So yesterday he did a stimulated game.
Stimulated or simulated?
Simulated game. Right. He did a simulated game yesterday, right? So how does this simulated game work? Does he like do they everybody comes onto the field and he's like, okay, listen, it's the bottom of the fifth, it's two outs, it's running on second. Is that how they do it?
Well, they're gonna have somebody at home plate and in the batter's backs and stuff like that.
Is that guy going to swing?
I don't know if he's really a swing, but okay. he's throwing to somebody.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to get the feel, ramp him up slowly. Like, the teams want to be careful. Even like Boston said this season, they were going to hold Chris Sale back just to give him a little extra rest. Like I said, they have that extra week. So we have to take that into consideration as well. And with pitchers, it is all about health. And
that's important.
I could talk myself out of pretty much vastly the majority of starting pitchers. I could find a reason why not to take that guy. But at some point, you have to take somebody. And just to reiterate, it kind of, for me, cements paying up for a top five guy.
Okay, you know? That makes sense. Now, let me ask you this with this simulated game. Like, how far do they take this? Like, is it like it's game seven of the World Series? Or is it like,
okay. They're going to have a certain amount of pitches they want them to throw and stuff.
Oh, okay. You see a lot of guys do this. Like, remember we saw, Josh Tomlin facing Michael Brantley in a simulated game earlier this week. And Michael Brantley swung.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was to get Michael Brantley up to speed and stuff. And that's a guy I just don't know. I mean, I love the player. It's the shoulder. I mean, last season he had to have another surgery.
Yeah, he's beat
so,
up, man.
I mean, he was never a guy that was going to hit for a lot of power. So he has to hit for the average. He's a guy that I've kind of stayed away from.
He's toolsy, but, you know, he's going to take him a little bit of while. You know, he's got to get healthy and get it going. If he does, though, he's a steal because he's going very late in draft. Even though he went earlier than I thought he would in Tout Wars, but.
Where are you going, Tout Wars?
Hmm?
Where did he go in Tout?
Oh, I have to look that up.
I think you're looking at it. That's why.
No. I'm on.
Well, the other thing
Roto-World.
Over these next 2 weeks,
which is available, RotoExperts.com exclusive edge package available right now. Use free radio when you check out. You get our discount. 800 player profiles. You do not want to miss it. It's RotoExperts.com exclusive edge package available right now. RotoExperts.com. Sorry, Matt.
Ding.
No problem. I mean, these next 2 weeks, what you're gonna see is you're gonna see players moving up draft boards. I'm not a slave to ADP. You should have your own ADP.
Certainly.
You should have your own player. You should map it out yourself, you know. If you don't want to take the time, then use whatever you find. Like, I find NFBC, that's what I play. But whatever you want to use that as a guide. It's a market indicator. But when it comes down to that, those last 2 weeks in March, guys are going to move up. So you have to have that mindset. If I want this guy, he's been going in the fifth round, and you believe in the guy, too. You can't just be moving guys up that you're like, well, maybe he could do it. It's got to be a guy you believe in. You might have to pay a fourth round for him.
What about a guy like David Dahl, who we talked about early in the offseason, Corey? This guy was going like the fifth round in ADPs, and he wasn't exactly guaranteed a starting job. I know he was good the second half of the year, but he wasn't guaranteed anything. Comes down with a back injury, he came out a few days. This is why I was a little nervous about Corey Seager's back injury, because now all of a sudden Dahl's out for a month with a back injury, and it seems like he's not going to have enough time to get ready for opening day, which leaves Gerardo Parra, the starter, in left field in Colorado. What do you make of David Dahl's injury? How does it affect his draft status for you?
Yeah, I think you're talking to me, right? Okay,
sure.
I think it. No, who's he? No, I feel like you said Corey.
Well, I would. Sure.
Matt has a chance when I'm finished. I'm not going to be long.
you're normally relatively long-winded.
No. No, he's probably going to open up the season on the DL. So when you see that happening right there, now he opened up the season on the DL. Parra gets the job. So say Parra comes out playing good right off the jump. So now you have a guy that you were taking in the fifth, sixth round that really has no fantasy value. So I would drop him significantly down the draft boards. I know everybody wants to get on him. He's a good young player in a good situation in Colorado. But I think that we got to temper our expectations on David Dahl as he deals with this injury.
I kind of agree with Corey. People aren't, obviously, from what I'm seeing in drafts, he was going early sixth round.
Yep.
Which to me, I know he's Colorado. I watched him play last year. There's much to like. That was too high of a price for me to pay. I have zero shares of him. I did get a couple of shares of Andrew Benintendi, who was going like 45 picks later. He's in another.
Who now may be the number three hitter in Boston.
Yeah, that was very interesting seeing that. Dahl, I thought if he was healthy, he was going to be pretty much the everyday starter.
Okay.
But now Gerardo Parra will step in for him. If I'm drafting David Dahl, I'm taking the approach that he's pretty much going to miss the month of April. I mean, I think that's the smart way to do it. I'm not saying don't draft him. If you really love him, you want him, he is sliding down. He went in the ninth round of my 12-team draft the other night. But that's a 12-team versus a 15-teamer. But even in 15 teams, he is starting to move down a little. Benintendi, to me, is very similar. And when you're in the Red Sox lineup, the whole thing was he batting second? Was he batting seventh? Now they're saying he's batting third, possibly. So he's the guy.
I look at David Dahl, and I'm hoping, in all honesty, that his price drops. Because for me, I can get a nice deal on him, I think. Because people are going to see this, and you know, no par is there. Let's say he misses all of April. Let's take exactly what you just said, Matt, and throw it in there. I could stash him on my DL spot then. Mm-hmm. And I might have a guy in Colorado, a younger guy who people really, really liked going the sixth round, you said, just a couple of weeks ago in some of these expert drafts. If I can get a nice deal on him now, take him in somehow, and I don't know if this is possible, because he went in like the seventh or eighth round of Tat Wars, but if I'm getting him double that, like in the 14th round, like that would be really cool, and that's what I'm biting. I don't know if I can do this now, the 6th, 7th, 8th round anymore with David Dahl. But if I'm talking 14th, 15th round, then I'm interested.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go that. I don't think he's going to fall that far unless, you know, we hear some really bad news. But he's a guy that, if you're confident, it depends on the size of the league, too. Depends on the size. In a 15-team league, I'm not really looking forward to drafting a guy in the top 10 rounds, knowing that he's going to probably miss a month, and he has a back injury already. It's not something that's going to excite me. And there's plenty of other good options. But on the flip side, if you get him, you stash him, you put in an outfielder for 1 month, and he becomes the player that people think he's going to be in Colorado, then that's a huge score.
Buying opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's how you're going to roll with it.
And you kind of talked a lot about that, Corey, throughout this spring. You know what's really weird? Spring training is really during the winter. Why is it called winter training?
Well, it's
spring doesn't start until March 22nd.
But it's warm.
Down there. But it's still winter. The name of the season doesn't change.
I think it's the mindset, too, to want us to be optimistic. The warm weather's coming.
So here in New York, it's supposed to be like 70 degrees today?
Yeah,
it is nice beautiful
today.
Out.
It's gorgeous out today. It's going to get up to, I guess it doesn't only get up to 60. But tomorrow, it's like it's supposed to snow.
Yeah, it's going to snow tomorrow. It kind of killed my weekend.
It's supposed to snow next week. This weather's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I'm looking at my iPhone now. There's a symbol that I've never seen before, Corey. Can you explain this to me? It's next Saturday. What is that symbol?
Oh, no, this is interesting, right? I've never seen this either. So it looks like it's going to be... This is a thermometer that's like...
cold thermometer.
A cold thermometer with a snow behind it.
So that means what, like freezing rain or freezing snow, maybe?
Maybe it's freezing snow.
Isn't that what snow is?
But snow is freezing.
Yes.
Because you see, you got just a regular snow. It's snowing Tuesday and Wednesday also.
A lot of snow coming next week.
I was about getting ready to put my boots away. Is that Tower Wars? No, that's...
Next weekend is Tower Wars, yes.
What is this?
Today's March 9th. Tower Wars will be next weekend.
Tower Wars is the 25th.
Following weekend,
so this would be the Saturday of Brian's draft. So it's a high of 43 and a low of 33. But that doesn't really add up. I don't know what that means. I'm curious of that. I know a weather
weatherman,
a weather lady.
Well, a meteorologist.
A meteorologist, yes.
She I'm sure she's fantastic at her job.
She does. I'm gonna ask her. I'm gonna send her a text message. She doesn't really speak to me like that, though.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I thought we were going to have a thing, but you know, whatever.
You don't.
No, we don't, Craig. She's upset.
She's upset or you're upset?
I'm fine.
He seems disgruntled, you know?
He is holding back a little.
Yeah, what am I going to do? All right, I'll take a break. Come back. Talk more right after this here on the Roto Experts. Have you now?
There we go. That's more like it. I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Cool NFL notes.
High school? No, you wasn't in high school.
Me? No.
Young baby.
I was a young buck.
Yeah.
Couple of other notes, football wise. Looking back to baseball in a bit, because I think you know it is for. What?
Sorry, I just saw something that disturbed me as far as NFL news.
Please, enlighten us.
The Browns are expected to sign Kenny Britt.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. I wanted Kenny Britt.
I mean, Terrell Pryor's gone?
I wanted Kenny Britt in Dallas. Maybe that does mean Terrell Pryor is gone. It's still going to be interesting to see. The Browns got plenty of money, though, so they can sign a couple players. Britt would have been a nice, cheap option. You know what I mean? But I would have liked Britt in Philadelphia, but now with Britt going to Cleveland, it's a wait and see game because you don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. Britt had a solid year last year.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen him on any offensive team with a decent quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Much, you know? This is why he must not. I guess a deal. The Cowboys were in on Britt. I don't know. He must not have a deal in place with you know. Or maybe Cleveland is blowing them away with the money.
I would assume something like that. And like you said, especially maybe Terrell Pryor, they're moving past him.
Maybe so. We'll see what happens. They got to keep TP. They can't let TP walk and bring Kenny and then bring in Kenny Britt. But I'm sorry, Greg.
No, please. What are you sorry for?
No, because we about to talk about David Dahl or something. And
no, we weren't.
But I
want to talk a little baseball anyway.
This Kenny Britt thing is
interesting.
Yeah, I understand.
I was actually going to talk about some of these other NFL signings. Like, to me, Stephon Gilmore leaving Buffalo to New England. Like, to me, that says something. I spoke to you a second ago, Matt, like off the air, that whatever, Stephon Gilmore a little overrated or whatever. But if New England's dishing out cash to go sign this guy, they see something. Division rival, they've seen it twice a year, his entire career. They see something, and as a Bills fan, it would scare the hell out of me.
Yes, it does. I think, you know, it's the thing with the Patriots defense is the scheme. There's never, like, the great players on there. It's more of a team concept. And putting Gilmore in there, putting him in the position to succeed, which I mentioned, I didn't think the Bills always had him in that best position to succeed because I don't think they had the pass rush and they were leaving guys out there on an island last year and they were getting toasted.
All righty. The other big signing that just happened, just came off, is Andrew Whitworth, the longtime Cincinnati Bengal, headed to L.A. to be their left tackle. He got top five left tackle money here, Corey. Do you think this helps Todd Gurley in a major way?
Yeah, no, definitely. Anything you could do to shore up that offensive line is definitely going to be a help. So he gets to take that money, go out to L.A., become a part of that team. They need to begin to build around Gurley. So this is a step in the right direction. Indianapolis got to get in on these offensive linemen, though.
Yeah, but isn't that the problem this season? There's so few good ones. Like, you know, it's just that the market there is just, you know, you're paying top dollar, as you said, top five. So, I mean, the Rams, definitely a good sign. I want to see Todd Gurley be good. I want to see him at least have the opportunity to be good.
Sure, absolutely. And Whitworth, long expected to re-sign with Cincinnati, took the money. Yeah, that guy took the money to go to L.A.
You know how damn cold it is in Cincinnati.
I understand.
Yeah,
I understand. I also read, interestingly enough, about Stephon Gilmore. I just read this. They said Josina Anderson, your girl Corey, reported. Yeah. Gilmore was disappointed that the Bears weren't more, quote, more serious with their offer. And then once they weren't, he just let the chips fall as they may.
See, he wanted to get down with them. But that's, you know, you got to make a decision about the finances. And I guess that's where the best opportunity was, you know what I mean? A good chance to win, obviously, also. So, but why is Josina my girl? Because she's a Tar Heel?
Yes.
Okay.
The Browns, as you said, signing Kenny Britt, and the number we got the numbers now from Ian Rappaport. 4 years, $32.5 million for Kenny Britt to go to Cleveland.
4 years, 32?
Yeah, 32.5.
That's good money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Well, obviously it's good money, but what I'm saying, I didn't think that Britt would get a deal that big. So you figure they probably got some kind of option somewhere in it. He probably do 2 years of that deal. Maybe he gets released again. Maybe he signs up for a third season. I don't know. This is TBD, to be determined. They got to get something done with the quarterback situation there. Now, to get the quarterback situation right, Britt can be a nice piece. Going to be interesting to see what happens with Terrell Pryor. And so if TP's not back, then Britt goes into this situation as the number one wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. If that's the case, then they might as well just try, go ahead. Well, they're going to draft the lineman anyway. Maybe they get a quarterback with that second pick. They got to figure out it, but they got to get Jimmy Garoppolo. If they're going to pay this kind of money for Kenny Britt, in my opinion, overpay for Kenny Britt, they got to go get Garoppolo.
Well, let me ask you a question, Corey. What is your expectations on Corey Coleman this year?
I think Corey Coleman does come through, have a good season. I think Corey Coleman would have been a good fit in this draft class. I think he would have been up. He would have still been a first-round draft pick. So health is obviously key. But I still think Britt's experience and the fact that, you know, Coleman missed most of his rookie season, I still think that Britt is the top target, will still be the top target. But I do like Coleman to have a nice season. Maybe I'll draft him as a wide receiver 4 or 5.
Yeah, I do believe Kenny Britt has that upside. We see the flashes from time to time. So I was just hoping it was on a more dynamic offense.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, it also depends where the quarterback is. How do we know Tony Romo's not going to Cleveland?
Don't do that. Don't do that, Craig.
I'm just saying.
I think Tony would retire first.
Yeah, and I don't blame him.
Really?
Oh, look at this.
What now? You got more news? Breaking news?
No, this is intriguing. You might get a kick out of this.
Ooh.
Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
Beckham's party boat doesn't happen if I was on Giants.
I like that. I like that statement.
Mm-hmm.
I like that statement a lot. Very, very cool to me. The contract of Brandon Marshall, which was just 2 for 12, looks a lot better when you see Kenny Britt getting 4 for 32 and
yeah,
a half.
Yeah, come on now. That's
did I not say that to you yesterday morning that the contract was going to look a lot better today?
Yeah, but I think with the Kenny Britt contract, what is the guaranteed money?
Yeah,
right. I mean, it's 8. If you break it down, it's like 8 per. So it's not so crazy.
Sure.
And if they get, you know, if they could cut him after 2 years or something like that.
Which I'm sure they can. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the guaranteed money is not too crazy. I just know Brandon Marshall is a lot better of a player than Kenny Britt.
Yeah, I like everything about that Brandon Marshall signing yesterday.
How do you think Kenny Britt is going to be without playing for Jeff Fisher? He's probably going to miss him.
Probably needed a break, too. he probably needed closure.
No, I don't think he wanted closure. He likes Jeff Fisher. Forever.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
Wow. Yeah, but I think at certain points, people need to separate.
And
I think for his game... And, you know, it's time to move, but he went to Cleveland. So hopefully Cleveland is going to do something with a quarterback. I mean, it would be fun to see Cleveland be somewhat competitive, put it that way.
I agree.
Yeah, and it's not. I don't think that guy is Robert Griffin, so.
Probably not. Tony Romo.
Don't do that, Greg, because Tony Romo and I are going to go play for Cleveland.
Maybe,
he wants to win. I like Hugh Jackson, don't get me wrong. You know what? Shout out to Kenny Britt, too. He hasn't had an off-field thing in a long time.
Yeah, that's true. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
He's been much better.
Absolutely.
Even at one point, Kenny Britt was like
Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, he was on that same team.
Absolutely.
Right,
and they were teammates. Matt Khalil goes to play with his brother Ryan Khalil in Carolina next to each other along the offensive line. According to Schefter, it's only the third time in NFL history that has happened where two brothers will play along the offensive line. Matt Khalil with Ryan in Carolina. Matt, this is a good spot for him. I think Carolina obviously needed an offensive lineman with Michael Lohr having major concussion issues. They need a left tackle. They're hoping that Khalil rebounds playing next to his brother.
I think that's a good sign. The Panthers, in my opinion, should be looking at a Dalvin Cook, somebody that's good in that offense, that situation that they have. He fits that better for me. You want to start protecting your franchise guy. You don't want your quarterback taking the hits. Look, when he's got to break out, running the pack. Cam can do it. He can be Superman at times, but you want to preserve him, keep him on the field. Solidifying that line, and I think addressing the running back need. I know Cook had a horrible underwear Olympics, but he's a damn good athlete. I mean, everything I've seen, I mean, I'm no scout, but everything I've seen when I've watched the Florida State games, he's been damn impressive.
I've been looking at, I just mentioned this with Kenny Britt a second ago, Corey. Kenny Britt signing with Cleveland. Now you assume that Terrell Pryor is gone. Do you know the age difference between Terrell Pryor and Kenny Britt is?
You know what's probably crazy about this? It's probably not as stark as you think it is. Kenny Britt might not even be 30 years old.
I'll ask you the question. What's the age difference between the two of them?
Maybe 3 years?
3 years. Matt, you have a guess?
I'll say two.
One.
They're 1 year.
One year apart. Kenny Britt is 28. Terrell Pryor is 27.
That's crazy. You would have thought that Kenny Britt was 31, 32. Kenny Britt still got good football left in him.
Sure.
Why the hell would he go to Cleveland?
Well,
his money.
Well, that's very obvious, very easy answer.
Oh, come on, but if, Jerry. But if Cleveland make that happen.
Now has Kenny Britt. If they keep Pryor and they get that quarterback.
That's
and
good.
They got Coleman, you know, so they got
three guys.
I like Crowell. Duke Johnson, I'll never draft again. He's on my do not draft list. I'm not. Because you know what's coming with Duke Johnson? You're going to look at his numbers and be like, oh, he caught 60 passes.
We said that. We said that's exactly what you're going to say.
Yep, exactly. So don't be fooled by that. The pieces are putting in place. You got the good offensive mind and Hugh Jackson there, but you still got a culture of losing, not to mention the fact you just know it's Robert Griffin is the quarterback right now.
So what does it take for Cleveland to, say, get Jimmy Garoppolo? Is the 12th pick, does that do it?
Sounds like they want more.
That's what I'm
thinking about the 12th of next year's first rounder.
Yeah.
I also heard that they would take 2 second rounders, and I believe the Browns have 2 second rounders.
That report was wrong. They wanted 2 first rounders, not 2 second rounders.
Two first rounders.
That was what they wanted, yeah.
For Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
this is not like Herschel Walker.
Corey.
Yeah, thank you.
Corey, would you get the 12th pick for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
If I'm Cleveland, I would.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. Because
if I'm by the same token, if I'm Cleveland, I just draft Watson.
You love Deshaun Watson, though.
No, but that's me.
Yes. Yes. All right. That'll do it for Football Talk. We'll come back. Team of Day with Matt Modica, who will stick around for the Old School Fantasy Hour as well. Team of Day coming up next as we wrap up the Roto Experts in the Morning here on a Thursday. Today's Team of Day brings us to the Oakland Athletics. I know Corey's excited about that one.
Yeah, the A's.
Yes.
I've always liked the Oakland A's. Like, I kind of like their thing, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
I like the fact that they play in a decrepit stadium. I like that. If your stadium looks like it smells like urine,
yeah,
I want to go there.
Okay.
You
want to go to the Coliseum?
Yeah, I want to go to the Coliseum.
All right.
I heard that place is beat up, too.
Yeah, it's just disgusting.
Like everybody,
why do
like,
the Raiders play there, too, still?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Raiders still play there. How crazy is that? You think the mound be on the 50-yard line?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, they still got that. Oakland doesn't have no money, though. No. Oakland is messed up that Oakland, you know, is in the situation they are financially. See, this is what I would do. Like, if I wanted to help Oakland, let's just say I was like city councilman or something like that. I'm like, when you come out here for the finals, don't stay in San Francisco. Stay in Oakland. Take the business to Oakland.
Sure.
The team, the Warriors, play in damn Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
For now.
Yeah, I know. For another year.
Have you ever seen the Swinging A's on MLB Network? Going back to the team in the early 70s.
Nah, I never seen this. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I watched it like about 2 weeks ago. I highly recommend it. But, I mean, Oakland this year.
They have fun teams, right?
Oh, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, he was. It's just going back, seeing how their owner was like so cheap. It was like before the free agency, and you were able to hold players back and not pay them. It was very interesting, very cool. You know, and everything like in the 70s is kind of like weird and trippy.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And then Oakland is like a weird and trippy place, too. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like, oh, this is. Yeah, I don't have no problem with the A's, but I guess we want to talk about some of the players.
Well,
we do. Sorry,
I think there are some players to be looking at in Oakland on the pitching side.
Yeah, interesting. Who are you going to talk about? Because I was talking about something else. But who are you talking about?
I'm going to say Mr. Sean Manaea.
Okay.
He was a guy that I took flyers on last year in the reserve round. Got off to a rocky start. Spent a little time in the DL early, but when he came back, he made a lot of positive progressions. And he's a guy that I think should have a very nice year. He should be, you know, continue that second year forward, build on what he did post All-Star break. There's another guy, Jarrell Cotton, that pretty
people,
much
people seem to like this guy.
People are in love with Jarrell Cotton.
Is it because of his name?
Maybe the name helps. You know, yeah. Jarrell's a pretty cool name, but he also it's a very small sample. But he did have some very, very nice attributes to his game. Some things that pop off the page. You know, you got like a 12.5 swinging strike percentage. But I try and look at it as you have to map it out over a full season. He had some really nice minor league numbers. But in the, say, 29 innings that he pitched last year, the K9 rate was lower than the minor league rate, which is always going to happen. You have to anticipate a drop, but he's a guy I do like. I think he's a deep sleeper, but he's no more. He's not sleeping anymore. People are on him.
Even though he's a young fit pitcher, when he was up last season, he did show good command. So they're expecting him to go ahead and continue to add on to that. Now, obviously, just the spring stats don't mean nothing, but he's had some ups and downs in the spring. But Stephen Vogt said that he feels as if that he's ready. That he looks better and he's more ready than he was in September. And he says, Stephen Vogt also said that his maturity has come along and that he's excited that he's going to be a part of the rotation. So things all pointing up for the young man. He's from the Virgin Islands. Look at that.
What about the quote-unquote ace of the staff, Matt? Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray, to me, this year is a flyer guy. I think he got beat up a little yesterday.
Sure did.
But that, to me, it's like I said, it's spring training. That, to me, isn't as concerning. He's got to be working on some pitches. The main thing with him is being healthy. Even going back to Greinke, I'm concerned. I'm not overly concerned. You know, these veteran guys, let them do their thing. I believe Justin Verlander tweeted something out the other day. This is spring training. Don't overreact. You know, so if you've been doing it, I mean, monitor, but believe in what you did. So, I mean, Oakland, there's another guy that I like, who I've been taking that's going later on, actually kind of quite a few rounds later than Jarrell Cotton,
okay.
Andrew Triggs.
Yeah, I took him in.
He took him in tout.
I saw that. I like that. I mean, he's a guy. Oakland's a good place to pitch. Are they going to get wins? I don't know, but I don't chase wins. I mean, there's been plenty of seasons Clayton Kershaw's only gotten 16 wins or something like that when he should have won like 20 games or more. So I'll usually target skills and opportunity. Opportunity is a big thing. Triggs should get that spot, and if he does, he's got it to be on.
So people seem to like Triggs. They like Cotton. They like Manaea. I mean, that's three Oakland starters, 3, 4, 5, that people seem to be interested in, not just you, Matt, obviously, those three guys. Now, there's a hitter that I've asked about on my other shows, and I wanted to ask both of you guys about as well. Corey, I'll start with you. Ryan Healy, he's going to play a little first base, a little DH. He was their third baseman last year. He came up, and I was very worried about him getting playing time, and I spoke again about this on my other show, and people seem to like Ryan Healy this year, this guy that can perform well. Corey, are you in on Ryan Healy with an O?
Yeah, he's a corner infield guy. You could target a little bit later on in your draft. Maybe hit you about 300, maybe hit you about 15, 17 home runs. Now, how do we feel about his playing time?
I gotta think he's gonna get the playing time. I know they made some signings in the offseason, but I think Oakland, if you look at that lineup and that what they're putting out there, Ryan Healy's a guy that should be playing every day. Wherever you want to put him, third, first, DH, he needs to be hitting. He's a guy that I like. I know he's getting the buzz, but there's other guys where he's going, like a Nick Castellanos, even a Mike Moustakas.
Better players.
That I like better. I've seen more of what they've done, put it that way. But people are on Ryan Healy. He is getting the love.
He struck out 20% of the times last year, too. So he's going to have to do a better job with his discipline.
What about, guys, there's one more name I wanted to ask you about before we wrap it up. Stephen Vogt at catcher. He's somebody that it's obviously struggled against one side of the plate desperately. Doesn't really play against lefties, and he is a starting catcher. Obviously, Josh Fegley is there as well. But, Ken, how comfortable, Matt, do you feel in taking Stephen Vogt?
Personally, I like Stephen Vogt as just a secure option.
Okay.
If you know, he's not going to do anything fantastic for you, but he's not going to kill you. If you wait on the catching position, he's not somebody, like I said, he's not going to kill you. And in a 15-team league, you're going to have to give up something. You know, and even in a 12-team league, if you're playing in a one-catcher league, the last player I'm probably drafting to fill out my team is a catcher. I mean, unless you really love, I mean, if you want to take Buster Posey, you could take him or LaCroix. But for the most part, for me, in a one-catcher league, I'm going to wait. In the two-catcher league, I'm fine with Steven Vogt.
Catcher that gets, that has some DH, that does some DH in two, so he's always in the lineup, so his bat is always out there. And, you know, the stats are, you know, nah, you know, whatever. Stats are like, okay, it's decent for a catcher. He's not going to hurt you, put it like that.
What about your boy Marcus Semien? I know you love Marcus Semien.
Do we have to do this again this year with Marcus Semien? I know you bought a Marcus Semien jersey, but it doesn't have the eye. Are we really going to do that again? Nah, you know, I can get down with Marcus Semien as a middle infielder a little bit later on in the draft. So you get that 20 home runs and those 10 stolen bases.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Semien just goes so damn late.
So damn late.
You know, if you're waiting on the shortstop position, I mean, I've done it, so I don't have a problem taking them.
All right, there you go. So, basically, the way I describe the Oakland Athletics, Matt, is I don't have a problem taking them. Pretty much every player on this team, I don't know, whatever. Every single player. All right, sure. That's what it is.
Yeah, just stick to the pitching.
Just stick to the pitching. There you go. Jarrell Cotton, Sean Manaea, and Andrew Triggs. Not the Sonny Gray part of the pitching. Or the Kendall Gray part. Either one. Hey, Matt sticking around with the OGs, Corey Parsons, Scott Angle, George Kurtz. I'm Greg Sussman. One more day of the Roto Experts tomorrow morning, 8-10 a.m. Eastern. Have a wonderful rest of your Thursday. Marcus Kuhn joins the show tomorrow. We'll see you then.